The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Reish Tess, Isser Rechitza Vesichel, and Ilus Hasandel, Patashma Shamita. This simon deals with a number of the restrictions placed on an avel. In last simon, we learned about a general introduction, but we learned about how an avel is not allowed to do malacha, do various types of work. And in this simon, we're going to discuss the prohibition of bathing for pleasure. Sicha would mean anointing oneself, using different types of lotions. Again, for pleasure, unilas hasandal is wearing certain types of leather footwear, v'tashma shemitah, and marital relations. Uboy ches sifim. So let's begin with Sif Aleph, where the Kitzur discusses the prohibition of rechitza. Also, lirchoitz kol gufoy afilu b'tzainen. It's prohibited to wash the entire body, even with cold water. Aval pon av yodav araglov, but face, hands, and feet, b'chaman aser, it's prohibited to do with hot water, u'b'tzainen mutter, but with cold water, it's permitted. Now, what exactly is considered cold water, there's a discussion about, but it seems, according to many Paiskim at least, that cold doesn't have to be ice cold. Cold means that it's room temperature, that it's just not warm, but it doesn't have a chill in it. So therefore, if a person has a need to wash themselves, or one's allowed to wash these parts of the body, it doesn't have to be ice cold water. They could add some hot water to it, as long as it just to take out the chill. Now the Kitzur continues, urechitza b'chamen, and this prohibition of washing with warm water, asura kol shloishim, it extends the shiva period, and it's for the full 30 days. V'afil lochof haraish, and even to clean the hair. V'gam rechitzas kol aguf b'tzainin, and the same would be true with washing the whole body with cold water. If it's for the purpose of pleasure, asura kol shloishim will be prohibited the entire 30 days. The isha l'tzarech chafifa shekayim tevila, and a woman who's washing herself for the purpose of preparing herself to go to the mikvah, muteres lirchoitz b'chamin, she's allowed to wash herself with warm water, la'achar shiva, after the 7 days of mourning. Now the Kitzur mentioned over here that the prohibition is when the going into the cold water is the tanug, is for enjoyment. Now the Paiskim say based on this that a person who is a mourner should not be going swimming during that 30-day period, because again, when a person goes swimming, it's for enjoyment. This shaila comes up a lot also during the 9 days, where we also observe these types of laws of avelus. And that's why the custom is not to go swimming during that time. Now, what about a person who needs to go swimming for health reasons? So, there'll be a very good argument to say that it's really permitted, just as many paiskim permit it during the 3 weeks, during the 9 days. Now, it could be that it would make sense, say, to wait until after Shiva, at least, depending on how necessary it really is. But if the person really needs that swimming for their health, they have to do certain exercises in the water, and they obviously can't go a whole 30 days without it, so it would seem that it should be permitted, because swimming is not done latinug, it's not done for enjoyment. Now, in the same vein, the Paiskim speak, the Yad Shol and others mention that what about a man going to the mikvah before davening? So basically, it seems the following, that if a person always goes to the mikvah before davening, let's say, among the Hasidim, it's a very strong minhag. Now, that type of thing, so they're going in cold water, they shouldn't go in very hot water, just as cool as possible, and they're doing it not latina, they're doing it not for pleasure, they're doing it because of the mitzvah, so therefore, it would be permitted. Now, there's an interesting question that on the last day of Avelus, we know that the Avelus ends after davening, so should the the man postpone his tevila until after davening, because then he'll be out of avelus, or can he go before davening? So the Minchas Elazar seems to pask in the interesting idea that he should, the minyan in the house of the Avel should take place later, and because according to some opinions, once it's already the normal time, he will daven shachris, so avelus has really ended already. So if he davens later, so then it's can be considered that sort of the avelus has ended already. So then he can go to the mikvah then, even though it's before he actually davened shachris. That seems to be one of the things that the Minchas Elazar suggests that he does. But again, the basic idea is, at least for the rest of Shiva, you know, it seems clear that a person whose minhag gets to be tayvel every day would be allowed to do so because it's not latinic, it's not for pleasure. Now the Sefer on Hilchas Avelus from the Eitzar Paiskim publications, they bring down over there from a Sefer Nachum Ami about, what about using, say, a wipe or something, say like a baby wipe, or a wet cloth to clean oneself. So what they say is that it's permitted to do that in a place where, say, there's a lot of sweat. Now, it seems the reason is because that's not a normal way of washing, and one's doing it just to take away the sweat, so therefore it will be permitted. Because, again, it's not really washing, and it's also not really for pleasure. Now, another interesting question that they discussed is, what about brushing teeth? So, you could say, well, brushing teeth is not rechitz at all, but what they're assuming is that it is a form of rechitza, but the purpose of it is to take off the something that you don't want there, not just for pleasure. So therefore, any type of washing that's to take off something that's bothering a person, not just to make them feel extra good, that will be permitted. So a person who brushes their teeth every day and there's stuff on the teeth, so that they will be allowed to do so during Shiva. Now, it goes without saying that if a person actually became dirty, right, they fell into the mud and they're all dirty, that they'll be allowed to bathe themselves, because that's clearly not latayinug, that's clearly to take off something that a person doesn't want on them. And we find the laws of Yom Kippur, even where one's not allowed to wash themselves, that will be permitted, because the purpose of the washing is not for pleasure, it's just to take off dirt that's there. Kitzur continues with the laws of washing in Sif Beis. Yoledes she'eira la avel, a woman who just gave birth to a child and she is a mourner. V'itzricha l'rchaitz, and she needs to bathe herself. Muteres gamasach shiva, she is allowed to do so even within the 7 days of mourning, so even though it's the most stringent time, but she's permitted. Ach b'yam rishon yesh l'hachra, but on the first day of mourning, which is the most stringent, she should try to be stringent on it and not wash. If it's not so necessary. Now, the reason over here is that since the woman just gave birth to a child, so therefore she is at some level considered to have a sakana, she's considered to be ill. So therefore, all her needs are permitted, even things that she's not necessarily going to have any danger by not doing, but her general comfort is permitted, and we want her to be comfortable, so therefore she would be permitted to wash. Now the Kitzur continues with a very relevant halacha, v'chein mishu itzness. Also a person who's itzness. What's itzness? So we find a number of references to itzness in Chazal, which is basically someone who's super sensitive. She'im lo yirchatz, that if he doesn't wash himself, he'd start a habit, he's going to be in great pain. V'yavi lidei michush, and he'll come to an ailment, means basically so sensitive. Motu lo lirchatz, will be permitted him to wash. V'chein ma'an de'islei, irbubi b'reish b'reishei. A person who has erbuvia means like some sort of mixed up, maybe that he can't concentrate because he's not clean. Mutla loch of Raisha Bachaman, he would be allowed to wash his hair. Now, in the laws of the 9 days, it's often discussed this question as far as people, you know, not showering for a whole 9 days. In today's world, where people shower at least a few times a week, maybe even more often, that how does that work if people are really uncomfortable, it really bothers them? And the basic concept that is applied is that in today's society, where people bathe so often, so if it bothers a person very much, then they have the status of itzness, which they will be permitted to wash. Now, the Paiskim can bring down the same type of idea with an oval as well, which is really the same concept. That again, especially we're talking, there's really this issue of Rechitza the whole 30 days. So today it would be unheard of for a person not to bathe, for that long. So they could definitely bathe in order to make themselves comfortable. They're not doing it just for pleasure. They're doing it because it's just so bothersome, their situation. So this is another important and relevant halach with the laws of washing. Now the Kitzer continues in Siv Gimel and talks about the prohibition of sicha, which is to anoint oneself, to apply lotions and oils and creams. This is what it says. Also, losuch afilu kol shu. One can't anoint themselves even a little bit. Imechavin l'tainig, if the purpose is for enjoyment. Avalim l'chavin l'havar zuama. But if it's to remove the sweat or the bad odor, mutter, it's permitted. Now, it would seem, based on this, that if one puts on deodorant simply to remove the bad smell, or to prevent the bad smell, it should be permitted. And I have seen many of the practical svarim that deal with the 9 days say the same thing, that one's permitted to wear deodorant. I did see in a couple svarim on Avelis say one should not wear deodorant, but I think it's difficult to understand, because the whole problem of anointing oneself is only, as the Kitzer says very clearly, is only when it's for pleasure. And if the person's just wearing that deodorant, they shouldn't smell bad, then it would definitely be permitted. If it's the type of deodorant that's made to give off a good smell, to the point that it's like a perfume or like that type of idea, so then that's when you'd run into an issue. When we call shekain mishum refu, and if it's for medicinal purposes, that it's some sort of boils on his head, then one would be allowed to use this oil that normally would be used as a form of pleasure for this. So any type of medicinal cream, even though it has oils in it and it's soothing, but if it's for medicinal purposes, it's permitted. The only issue is if it's being done purely for the sake of enjoyment, that it feels good, that would be a problem of sicha. Now we continue with Siv Dalet. Misha Tokfuhu Avelov, basically a person who had two reasons to mourn back to back, unfortunately. She'eru lo ishtea Aveluyois zu achazu, that two reasons to mourn one after another. Mutter lo ilirchitz besainen, he's permitted to wash in between with cool water. In other words, because he is going to be such an extended period of time, they permitted him to wash in between. Now here the Kitzer discusses the prohibition of wearing leather shoes. Sif hei, isr n'ilas a sandal, the problem wearing a sandal, which is like a sandal in those days, hu dafka b'shel or, it's only if it's leather. Aval shel beged, but if it's made of material, I shall gemi, I shall seir, I shall eitz, made of other materials, mutter, then is permitted. Delay mikwi manal al shel or, because it's not called a manal, only if it's made of leather. Now, what about if it's covered? So, manal shel eitz umechuba or, if it's wooden but it's covered with leather, usser, it's still prohibited, even though the feel is a hard feel, but it's still a problem. Afal pisha oval usser benilas a sandal, even though he's prohibited to wear shoes of this sort, mikol makom of mevarch babiker shosli kol tzarki, he could still make the bracha of shosli kol tzarki, even though it refers to shoes as well. Now, based on what the kids are saying, it would seem to be that even comfortable shoes that are made of other materials, let's say sneakers or Crocs or anything where it's very comfortable and happens not to be leather, should not be a problem, because the Isser is only manal and it's not including the Isser. There are Paiskim, however, who take an opinion that if it's very comfortable and that's what's normally worn, then it should not be worn. So again, this is something that one could ask their own Rav, but it seems that the prevalent custom, say on Tisha B'Av and all these times, is people do wear sneakers and do wear Crocs and these types of things. I did see one sefer that wants to say that when on Tisha B'Av, when people are walking around, so they need something comfortable, so therefore they wear these things. But if a mourner who's basically at home the whole time, he's not really walking around anyways, so he doesn't really need shoes that much at all, so then one should be more stringent. Again, that was an opinion that I saw, but one should ask their own Rav as far as how to deal with this if it comes up in real life. Now, just as we mentioned before, a woman who was just after childbirth has certain leniencies, so we find a leniency with what the type of footwear she wears as well. And that's what we see in Sivvav. Yeledes, a woman who just had a child, called Shloshim Yom Leidasa, all 30 days, Mutaras Benilas HaSandal, she's permitted with wearing regular shoes, which would mean to say, you know, the whole prohibition of wearing shoes is only the 7 days, but the point is, even if those 7 days are at the end of the 30 days from the birth, it would still be permitted. The Chayin Chayla, and also a person who is sick, Umi Shiyesh Le'maka Baragloi, or a person who has something, has a wound on his foot, because it seems he's talking cold climates, where the shoe is needed to protect the foot that should be warm. So this wound, if they're going to wear other forms of shoes, it's going to get cold, and therefore it's permitted to wear leather shoes. Siv Zayin. Ovel Shaholich Baderech, a mourner that has to travel, Mutar Be'ilas HaSandal, they're permitted to wear normal shoes, the Yasim Ktsas Ofer B'Sandal. Now the reason is because he's walking among non-Jews, and therefore they're going to mock him if he's wearing these funny types of shoes. This could be as well, say a mourner, you know, has to fly and he's in the airport and he feels uncomfortable, you know, wearing, you know, those types of shoes in front of everyone else, so it would seem that he would be permitted to wear regular shoes. The Yosem Ktas Ofer B'Sandal, but he should put a little bit of dirt in it to make it uncomfortable, and that's what he should do. V'chem v'chol makom shetzarech linol sandal, yasekein, and also any situation where he has to wear regular shoes, if he's able to put some dirt in, that's what should be done. So the basic idea is that, generally speaking, obviously one does not wear in these leather shoes, but in certain situations, let's say for medical reasons, you know, they're going to be in pain, or they're traveling, and they're going to be among non-Jews, then one would be permitted to wear leather, but they should put some dirt in it to make it less comfortable. So basically, so far, we've covered the basic concepts of not washing oneself, not anointing oneself, not wearing leather shoes, and the final one in this siman is Sif Ches, also B'tashim Shamita, marital relations are prohibited, B'chem of Chibuk V'Nishuk, and as well as embracing and kissing, Aval Shar Divrei Kurva, but other forms, meaning to say when a woman is a Nida, usually, and the halach is that they have to distance themselves in many different ways. They don't pass things, they don't make beds in front of each other and do all those types of things. So when it comes to mourning, those things are not as stringent, those not prohibited. Could go in Mezigas HaKais, like serving each other drinks, Vatzos HaMita HaKadayim, and preparing the bed for sleeping, Mutar, so those things are permitted. Bein Bavelos Tidei, Bein Bavelos Tidah, those things are permitted. And the reason is because since the prohibition of mourning after the first day is Rabbanon, is Rabbinic, so therefore they didn't add onto an extra safeguard of making one have to keep the archakas, maybe having to keep those distances. Whereas if a woman's a nida, so then the prohibition is isra karis, it's very severe, so that's why we find the archak. In the Sefer Netta Gavriel, it's brought a number of the different customs that people have during the Shiva. These aren't regular halachas, but customs that are common. One thing is to cover mirrors or pictures of people. Now there's two very different reasons for the source of this custom. One reason is brought from the Chacham Sofer that because in today's day and age we don't do kfiyas hamita, which is they would turn around the bed, so the mirror has also significance or connection to the bed, and therefore that's why the mirrors are covered. There's another reason given is because since in the house of the Avol they daven, so therefore, it's not proper when people are davening that they should be facing a mirror, or be facing a picture, because it looks like the davening to the picture. Now, the difference between these two reasons would be if, let's say, the mourners are only going somewhere to sleep. So, according to the reason that it has to do with kfiyas hamita, has to do with turning over the bed, then it would apply as well. Whereas, if it has to do with davening, then they're obviously not davening there. Now, it is brought in different svarim based on the first reason to cover it in all situations, and each person should do according to their minhag. Another common custom is to light a candle in the house of the Shiva. The idea of the candle is the idea that a ner is neshama. A ner represents a soul, and therefore it's a way of remembering the neshama, the soul of the person that passed away. Now, the main custom is to do it actually in the place where the person passed away, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Even if, say, the person died in the hospital or somewhere else, they could still light the candle in the place that they're sitting Shiva. Now, it's brought that even in a situation where they don't begin the actual Shiva until later, say it's Yontif or something like that, but still, they could light the candle, they should light the candle from right away, even though they haven't started sitting Shiva yet. Some also have a custom not to put on extra lights in the house of the Avel, also like a sign of mourning, similar to what we do in Shul on Tisha B'Av, that, you know, the lights that's necessary, yes, but like a chandelier or something that's just extra for beauty, that not. The Magen Avraham, which is an important commentary on Shulchan Aruch, brings the idea of an Avel, of a mourner, that not to be alone. We find different situations. One's supposed to have a shimer, one's supposed to have someone guarding them, like a chassan, like a groom. And the Magen Avraham brings this for an Avel as well. It's also brought the idea that it's a strong minhag to look after the Avel, make sure he has enough food to eat, and financially, if he's not working that week, to make sure he has enough money, and that he should be taken care of, at least for the week of Shiva. Another custom that the Nitei Gavriel brings is that the bed where the Nifter slept, where the person who deceased, where they slept that during the week of Shiva, that someone shouldn't sleep there. Okay, these are different minhagim. There's an interesting question along these lines that it's brought in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid not to wear the shoes of the Nifter, the shoes that of the person that passed away. And Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has an interesting tshuva where he writes that these types of customs that are not really halachic, it's more like things that we're concerned about, almost like superstitious, you could say. So if we have a way of explaining them that's logical, then we're supposed to explain them that way, and we don't extend them beyond those bounds. So that means if we have a custom on a specific thing, we keep the custom. The Klal Yisrael is very careful with this custom, there's deep significance to them, but to take it further, we don't. So he understands this idea of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid about not wearing the shoes of the Nifter. He said perhaps it's the shoes that he wore during the final illness. So therefore, there would be a concern that they might be contaminated, they're diseased. So that's the reason why you shouldn't wear them. Where if it's just, you know, the person had other pairs of shoes, then one would definitely be allowed to wear them. So again, these are a few of the different customs that people have during the times of the Avelis. And on the one hand, the minhagim, the customs of Klal Yisrael, are very important. On the other hand, it is important to keep in mind that these things are not necessarily straight halachas, they're more customs, and therefore, if, let's say, a person's in a situation where they can't really be kept, you know, so a person should realize that they're not dealing with a straight halacha, and they should therefore act accordingly.